Whoopsie. The commander-in-chief forgets to mention the name Jesus Christ in his super spiritual Easter message to the nation. But not to worry. Pope Francis tells the IMF and World Bank that it's time for a new global governing body. All part of the Great Reset, baby. Speaking of Pope Francis, it seems that Mark Stein has had quite enough of the globalist pontiff. By the way, they say we can never go back to the old normal until COVID hell freezes over. So what's with all those full stadiums down in Texas and those Easter pinata parties going on all over the place? Hey, remember all those bass-ackward homeschoolers getting persecuted a few years ago for not following the science? Well, I guess they don't look so stupid anymore, do they, now that the whole world is homeschooling? And finally, the Great Reset. Is it just a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, or is it happening right now and right before our eyes? All that and more tonight from the Editor's Desk.
For domestic travel, fully vaccinated people do not need to get a COVID-19 test before or after travel and do not need to self-quarantine after travel.
Well, thank you, Doctor. That's good to know. We've been sort of traveling all around all along without really testing or getting vaxxed at all, so I'm not sure exactly what this woman is talking about. Do you guys know?
Not so sure.
No. Not so sure, but I am really interested in that green screen technique. That was fantastic. In fact, Walter, let's just watch that again. Now look at that hair just behind the ears. And voila, it's gone. That good? Good stuff?
Team
yeah, no, it's great. And these clowns, they want us to take their science seriously when they can't even get green screen technology down. You just can't make it up. Anyway, hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Mack coming to you once again from the Editor's Desk. Happy Easter to you all. Don't forget to like this video. What else are we supposed to tell everyone? Like and share. Subscribe. Don't forget that I think we're wearing out our welcome here at YouTube, so don't forget about remnant-tv.com. We're up and going strong. The numbers are looking great over there. People are finding us. Thank you so much for spreading the word. Remnant-tv.com is ready. Whenever we get tossed off big tech, we're ready for you. So, you know, the commander-in-chief had a very nice, I thought a very nice Easter message this year. Did you catch that?
Oh, sweet.
Let's take a look at that. That's nice.
Jill and I want to send you our warmest Easter greetings to you and your family. As we celebrate this most holy day, we know many are still going without familiar comforts of the season. The virus is not gone, and so many of us still feel the longing and loneliness of distance. For a second year, most will be apart from their families, their friends, and full congregations that fill us with joy.
Wow. I mean, this poor guy. Low-hanging fruit, whatever. It is what it is at this point. But you know what? Newsflash to POTUS. Most Americans, really, sir, are not nearly as terrified of COVID as evidently you and the missus are. We've all kind of moved on.
We have to disinfect everything.
Got it. I'll get the doors.
And the windows. Do this 12 times an hour. We have to keep your hands clean.
No, I mean, it's funny, but I mean, does Biden not realize that huge states such as Texas and Florida have lifted the COVID restrictions and millions celebrated Easter the old-fashioned way? Not with a little cookout that he said we're going to be able to have by the 4th of July, but with good old-fashioned huge Easter parties, including COVID pinata Easter parties.
Boom.
Go
get
back.
Oh, friends, just look at that. Look at that. And the sound of freedom. Isn't it something? Oh, don't freak out. I know, not a lot of social distancing going on. I'm getting kind of worried. Don't freak out. Lots of people, friends. Now, you may not believe this, but a lot of people are actually done with the crazy now. I just heard this weekend, somebody celebrated Easter. They saw their neighbors out in the yard. They're in a relatively small yard. There are about 10, 15 people. There are 10 feet, or I suppose it would have been 6 feet between each little coffee table, little card table, with a little bit of ham on the table, you know, a little something to drink. everyone was sitting at the table singly and masked up. Family Easter celebration. This is the Twilight Zone. So not everybody's like that, though. I think a lot of people, and we're going to talk about that tonight, a lot of people are waking up. Lots of people are done, as I say, with the crazies. I'm not a big Major League Baseball fan, but way to go, Texas Rangers. Texas Rangers packed out their whole stadium last week. You saw this.
It's loud, Brooke. It sounds like it's supposed to sound, and it is a full ballpark. Just about every section has fans in it this afternoon, just about every seat. It was expected to be a sellout crowd for this first home opener, and though they haven't announced attendance yet, it looks like it probably is, or will be close to it.
I know. Death and destruction. Everyone's going to die in Texas. Tens of thousands of people are going to die. Oh, no! They weren't social distancing. They weren't wearing masks. What's going to happen to these people? They're washing their hands every few seconds. What's going to happen to them? They're going to die. Oh, scary!
Okay, guys, we got everything?
No. My diffuser. We've got to diffuse some On Guard.
Now we wait. Okay.
High fives.
Yeah. This is normal. We're okay.
Kind of reminds me of that old song. Do you remember that song? They're coming to take me away. Oh, my. They're coming to take me away or something. Remember this? Walter, can you dig that up?
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Hey, ha ha, they're coming to take me away, ho ho, hee hee, ha ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those.
Okay, enough of all that. Let's forget all that. Tonight, we're going to do something just a tiny bit different. We're going to talk to people. I don't know, maybe you're Democrats. Think we have any Democrats in this audience?
Sure.
You never know. I know we have a lot of Protestant friends, so not everybody's Catholic. Maybe we have some Democrats that are getting... Yeah, actually, we better hope and pray that we have some Democrats in this audience. Because the Democrats are the ones, politically speaking, they had better wake up their own representatives and their own senators. Because what's going to happen if some of the Democrats don't wake up? And some of them might. Because not every Democrat hates America. And basically what they got going right now is the destruction of this country. So there may be some that'll wake up. So I hope we do have some Democrats out there tonight. I hope we have some people sitting on the fence. I want to speak to you, the folks that know that something's wrong, but you're sort of stuck in the middle of this partisan vortex that keeps us all nicely pitted against each other rather than actually trying to figure out what the heck is going on in this country. I love to think that maybe at some level, at our smaller level down here, we can put our heads together and the polarization and have constructive conversations because you know something is wrong, don't you? By now, you know nothing's normal here. And it's not always easy to admit this. You might have to break away from your little party politics and your little, you know, your comfort zone. I have to do that. I'm a Catholic, and yet I got to put up with this.
We share the sentiments of Pope Francis, who has said that getting vaccinated is a moral obligation.
And here's the problem, friends. Uncle Joe's absolutely right for a change. Francis is on his side, not on my side.
In an April 7th letter to the World Bank and IMF spring meeting, the participants and the speakers, which include, by the way, John Kerry and Melinda Gates, for heaven's sakes, Pope Francis said that COVID-19 has led to, quote, an urgent need for a global plan that can create new or regenerate existing institutions, particularly those of global governance, for advancing human development of all peoples. The Pope also said the notion of recovery cannot be content to a return to an unequal and unsustainable model of economic and social life. In other words, the pontiff thinks we're going to need a great reset. No wonder people are sick and tired of this guy.
There is a tragic element to the diminished state of the Christian churches a year into this thing. If ever there were a huge opportunity for religious ministry, a world in which everything else is dead, movies, shows, sports, concerts, restaurants, all the noisy distractions of the secular consumerist life is surely it. Yet for the most part, starting with the social justice pontiff in the Vatican blaming COVID on climate change, the churches blew it.
Francis is absolutely on Team Gates. He's Team Biden. He's Team Soros, the whole crew. So what am I getting at? Again, talking to my potential Democrat friends who might be watching this program. What am I getting at? This is a very difficult time for us. We have to go, oh my gosh, we're Catholics, and yet we can't just stick with the party, stick with the church, stick with the Pope. You know, got to break out of the box a little bit because we're in the middle of a massive, unprecedented crisis. This is not a question anymore of conservatism versus progressivism, of Democrat versus Republican, of even Catholic versus non-Catholic. God knows, guys like Joe Biden claims to be a Catholic. He's not a Catholic at all. You see, this is not even about the next election. This is bigger. This is so much bigger than just electoral politics. They have actually now selected a guy who has no chance of being reelected. You know what that means? Let's face it, Joe Biden is too old. He may say, yeah, I'm going to run for re-election. Of course, he's going to say that, but he's not going to. He's way too old for that, and everybody knows it. And it was intentional. Put this guy in there who's not going to be running for a second term. Guess what? He gets to do whatever he wants. And we've really not faced that before, have we? A president who goes in his first term with a majority in the Senate, in the Congress, knowing he's not even up for re-election. It doesn't matter to him. He's going to do whatever he wants. It's the perfect situation for the globalists, for the folks at the UN, for the folks from Davos. A very old man is in charge of everything in this country, even though that very old man is in charge of precisely nothing, even his own ability to communicate.
So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway, we're going to get a lot done.
So, who's running the show? Who's in charge? And don't you see, that's just the point. And so if you're a Democrat, Republican, if you love your country, friends, you got to understand this. There's a great reset going on right now. And the folks behind that are running our country from afar right now. How are they pulling this off? Let's use some real on-the-ground, real news examples. For example, Georgia. Georgia tried to eliminate the potential for voter fraud and cheating in their elections. Now, thinking back just a week or so now, who was most vociferous in the protests and in the outrage against Georgia doing this? It's hilarious when you think about it, but who was it? It really wasn't the government. It really wasn't even the special interest group so much. It was the CEOs, wasn't it? It was Coca-Cola. It was Delta Airlines. It was JP Morgan. It was Chase. It was Viacom CBS. It was Citigroup. It was Cisco. It was UPS. It was Merck, right? Did you see? Stakeholder capitalism in action. We talked about this a year ago. They've been predicting this is what they wanted in Davos. They've been talking about it for years. You see, big tech, big business, beginning to wield more power now. Even then, big government, big banks, big pharma, the big transportation sector, they're the ones threatening you right now with this vaccine passport nonsense. Not so much Joe Biden, right? Why do you think that is? It's because in the future, big corporations will institute policies globally. You see, that's how it's going to work. They're all excited about that. Globally. And these policies will transcend the laws of individual governments. Big business will simply deny you services if you're not vaccinated. Doesn't matter what the countries are saying, what the governments are saying. It's got nothing to do with it. You won't be able to get on that Delta airline flight. Whatever Biden says, if you're not vaccinated, you don't have your vaccination passport, you're not flying if they get their way. And of course, you know, Delta airline protesting down in Georgia, Georgia's voter ID law, which is racist. Well, why don't you go next time you go to Delta to take a flight and they ask you for your passport? Why don't you say, no, I'm not going to give you the passport because I think that photo IDs are racist. Let's see how far you get with Delta. And that's why they're getting rid now. They're getting rid of the mom and pop shops all across the nation, replacing them with the big box chains, right? Wiping out small town industry throughout the entire country right now. And they've been doing it for a long time. Whomever controls the big corporations then controls us and controls the world. Whoever controls the vaccines controls us and controls the world. Governments are having less and less to do with any of this. Now think about this. What did Joe Biden run on? He ran on the slogan, Build Back Better. Surely you didn't think he came up with that on his own. I mean, guys like Boris Johnson, he wears Build Back Better on his head, for Pete's sake. And everyone from Justin Trudeau, oh my gosh, the insufferable Justin Trudeau. Oh, I'm so sorry, you Canadians. God help you all. I don't know who's running your country, but that little man is terrifying. Aside from being a moron, he's terrifying. So that little nut job, he's been up there. The prime minister from New Zealand, another nut job, she's been parroting this Build Back Better mantra for a while as well. You've seen it. Here's what it looks like.
Build back better.
To build back better or whatever.
And build back better.
To build back better.
Build back from this global pandemic.
Build back better.
Build back better.
Building back better.
To build back better.
Build it back better.
And build it back better.
Build back better.
To build back.
Build back better.
It's about building this country back better.
Build back better.
Building back better.
Build back better.
Some would say to build back better. We would say to really have a great reset.
So I get it. I get it. Some of you are scratching your heads. You're still thinking this is just a great big conspiracy theory. You know, fit for the tinfoil hat club. And you know what? I so hope you're right. I have never wanted to be more wrong about anything than about this. I just hope a year from now, I'm out here apologizing for having fallen for the biggest conspiracy theory hoax. And Davos was never actually serious from the start. I really, really hope that's the case. But then again, think about how many times we've heard that we're never going to go back to the old normal. And they started saying that right out of the gate. Right away, like within the first couple of weeks, Tony Fauci, we never go back to the normal, we'll never shake hands again. Remember this? Right away. How do they know this? How do they know we're not going back to the old normal when even Klaus Schwab himself says that this virus is the least deadly in 2,000 years? Why can't we go back to the old normal? What's going on here? How can they possibly say we'll never go back unless... maybe they don't want us to go back, because that's what it starts to look like to a lot of people, right? They're using COVID, the fear of COVID, the new order they're bringing in to protect us all from COVID, take away all civil liberties, abolish the Constitution, civil rights all across the world, using COVID so that we can never go back to the old normal, because that's what they want. Oh, I know. That sounds like a terrible, crazy, fever, swamp conspiracy theory, but you really think it is? Do you think what's going on is normal in any sense? And by the way, if the Great Reset is just a conspiracy theory, then why did Klaus Schwab write a book called COVID-19, The Great Reset? You can tap into whatever CNN, whenever they do bother talking about the Great Reset, they always say it's a conspiracy theory for QAnon nutjobs and all of that. Why does Klaus Schwab, extremely respected guy, the architect of Davos, why did he call his book The Great Reset? And can people not be forgiven then for taking him at his word that this is serious when this guy is the architect of Davos? He's not some lone nut job. He might be nuts, but he's not lone. His World Economic Forum brings together the movers and shakers of the world every year. And it's not just Bono, who obviously has nothing else to do, but everyone. Pope Francis sends his representatives every year. Most recently, you'll remember, he sent the illustrious Cardinal Peter Turkson to celebrate and to greet Klaus Schwab, the guy who wrote the book, The Great Reset.
What is it about Davos and the World Economic Forum that attracts you to come here?
Well, it's a great place to spread awareness about the work we're doing. And obviously, there's a huge collection of very powerful, well-connected people here. So...
and it's not just Bono and Pope Francis and Matt Damon, but it's the big guys, the billionaires, the Bill Gates. They're at Davos, Switzerland, I'm talking about. And we'll put the link. Let's put the link down to that previous program that we did on Davos in case there's anybody out there that for some reason still doesn't know anything about this. Greta Thornbirds or something like that, whatever her name is. That's, yeah, that whatever that little, how dare you, whoever she was. She's always there lecturing the fellas. Al Gore is there. Prince Charles, the United Nations Secretary General, is there. The CEOs of Microsoft, Apple, Citibank, MasterCard. The President of China was there last year celebrating the author of The Great Reset. You know, the conspiracy theory, The Great Reset. Everyone who's anyone is in Davos with Klaus Schwab, the architect of the conspiracy theory called the Great Reset. Okay, everyone.
The Great Reset is about expanding government power
and suppressing liberty. World Economic Forum founder and executive chairman Klaus Schwab has proposed using the overreaction to coronavirus to launch a worldwide Great Reset.
This guy, Schwab, grew up in Nazi Germany. Now, he was obviously influenced by their ideas, especially on eugenics, on the idea of Superman, the Übermensch, and the rest of the Nietzsche nightmares. Again, don't take my word for it. In a second, I'll give you all the books where you can go read it. You can Google it. They're all online, most likely. I think all of Schwab's books are online. You don't even have to buy the books. You can just read them online. But you see, now Klaus Schwab is into eugenics, but not the old kind of breeding eugenics that our friends the Nazis were into, but more into the high-tech eugenics, what he calls transhumanism, which is also grounded in Gnosticism and pantheistic, polytheistic, paganistic cosmologies, population control, and all the rest. Schwab doesn't care, though, if you're blue-eyed and blonde-haired particularly, but he does want you to become a Superman, sort of half computer and half human, cyborg. I think most of you know this is true. If you're thinking this is sounding crazy, I agree with you. It's nuts. But this is what the guy wants, and he's got all the books to prove it. He thinks that in the future, it's going to be fantastic because we're not going to have to work anymore. Do you know why? Because what he calls the fourth industrial revolution, a revolution involving technology, is all about a world where robots are going to do the work for you. He literally envisions a future where no one goes to work. You know, we just sit around and do, I'm not sure what we do. I guess we just sort of play with our robots, whatever. We become robots. I don't know. Because in his book, Shaping the Future of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which we'll throw up on the screen here, Klaus Schwab writes the following, quote, in the Fourth Industrial Revolution, technologies will not stop at becoming part of the physical world around us. They will become part of us. Today's external devices, from wearable computers to virtual reality headsets, will almost certainly become implantable in our bodies and brains. Exoskeletons and prosthetics will increase our physical power, while advances in neurotechnology will enhance our cognitive abilities. We will become better able to manipulate our own genes and those of our children. These developments raise profound questions. Where do we draw the line between human and machine? What does it mean to be human? End quote. Thus writes Klaus Schwab. And I think what he means is, what does it mean to be Superman, superhuman? Right, Klaus? So you're talking about here, aren't you? Superman, the Übermensch thing again? We're doing this again? All over again? We didn't get quite enough of this? Back when the Nazis were goose-stepping around Europe? Now, I'm not trying to convince anyone in this audience that this stuff is going to happen, that it's possible. I have no idea. The point is, he's writing about it. The point is, he's influencing the president of China, the president of the United States, Bill Gates, and everybody else. Doesn't that make you a little nervous, given what I just read to you? That he wants to turn at least part of your body into a machine. Doesn't it make you just a little bit nervous that Joe Biden wants to build back better with this guy, with Schwab, who also writes, by the way, quote, the mind-boggling innovations triggered by the fourth industrial revolution, from biotechnology to artificial intelligence, will redefine what it means to be human. That's a scary concept, and yet here's Joe Biden using the same slogan, build back better with Klaus Schwab.
We can do this. We can build back better. And I'm looking forward to getting started as soon as we can.
There you have it, friends. Bring on the robots. Cancel the countries. Eradicate human freedom. That's what they have in mind for you. And you think that it's a conservative thing to be concerned about this? It doesn't bother you at all because you're a Democrat or a liberal? Are you teasing me? You're looking forward to this? On what part of your head are you going to let Klaus Schwab implant something permanently? Some hunk of machinery, some piece of computer, some robotic apparatus on your head. Where's it going to go? Front? You think the face? Back of the head? Where's it going to go? Have you thought about this? This is what they want the future to look like. This is what they want you to look like in the future. and they're racing. They're doing everything else too. This is just a little down the line. Further than that, or sooner than that, I should say, they're going to start phasing out freedoms that come with independent transportation. You see, that's where they're going. If you want to go where you want to go, when you want to go, they got a problem with that. They have a problem with your automobile, with your car. Because, of course, cars destroy the planet. You won't have a choice in the matter. They're going to take them away. They're already doing it in California by 2030. They're doing it in New York, and they just announced it here in Minnesota. They're phasing out the automobile by 2030 as well. Everything's going electric. Not only electric, not only do they want a fleet of electric cars, but those electric cars, self-driving, baby. You're not going to be able to drive those cars. You won't have a car anymore.
The biggest application is the autonomous driving. This is going to replace the entire transportation that we're used to today. You will no longer buy cars. But imagine there is an Uber that gets here in 30 seconds and is very reliable, very clean, and there's no nasty driver because there is no driver, and it's very safe. Would you not buy a car? One thing about AI is it gets better with data. In 10 years after its first launch, it'll probably be so much better than people. Most of us will be afraid to drive. You know why? Because autonomous vehicles will start talking to each other. They will miss each other by 1 centimeter. And we as humans will become our worst enemies, because we're going to be the threat to our lives. The machines are going to be safe. And pretty soon after that, humans will be disallowed from driving.
And by the way, once you have that Uber fleet of smart cars and you want to dial up your, order yourself an Uber to get somewhere, if it should happen that you were deplatformed by social media, by big tech, guess what? They can also deplatform you from Uber, which means getting around is going to get kind of interesting. You could probably take a horse, but I think Bill Gates wants to outlaw horses because horse flatulence is something that, so... It's going to be tricky in the future, but it's going to be great, and you're going to be happy. You know, and of course, if you're going to have smart cars, you're going to need smart streets. You will need, in fact, wait for it, you will need an infrastructure overhaul. Isn't that a coincidence? Because Joe Biden, his $2 trillion infrastructure overhaul proposal, which he unveiled just last week in Pittsburgh, it's all about allocating billions and billions of dollars to roads and bridges and to the transition to electric vehicles. You see, because those electric vehicles that are self-driven, they're going to need things, electronic transponders or whatever you will call them, in the streets, in the pavement, so the cars can whip around nice and neat. You see, that's what he's talking about with his infrastructure overhaul. You see why they were so eager to get rid of Donald Trump? Because he stood in the path of all of this insanity. This is why Soros said by 2020, they would get rid of Trump.
Clearly, I consider the Trump administration a danger to the world, but I regard it as a purely temporary phenomenon that will disappear in 2020.
It doesn't stop there. Yeah, they're going to get rid of your cars and all of that. They're going to stick some computer in your head. But the Great Reset also has big plans for private property, including your own home. You see, because homes are dirty, homes produce, you know, pollution. You're not responsible enough, on a planet as fragile as ours, to own your own home, especially not out in the country. So they're going to have to do something about that. But you see, my friends, we can go on all day. This crazy stuff is don't take my word for any of it. You got to read the books. Read Klaus Schwab's books. The biggies are shaping the future of the fourth industrial revolution, and COVID-19, the Great Reset. Get them today and read this and pass it around. Talk it with your friends. This is what they got in mind. This is what Joe Biden is doing. Not in the future. He's doing it right now. Klaus Schwab wants privacy to become a thing of the past. If you like privacy, look out, because the Great Reset is going to do away with it. Schwab writes, quote, citizen concerns over privacy will require what he calls adjustments in thinking. Of course, he wants a police surveillance state. He writes, quote, the tools of the fourth industrial revolution enable new forms of surveillance and other means of control. Isn't that special?
Okay, Jan, what's coming?
Double homicide, one male, one female. Killers male, white, 40s.
Set up a perimeter and tell them we're en route.
I'm placing you under arrest for the future murder of Sarah Marks.
Now, this is what Ron Paul is talking about when he talks about they're going to be actually putting something in people's brains that they can surveil so they can prevent crime. Here's Ron Paul.
Included in Schwab's proposal for surveillance is his idea to use brain scans and nanotechnology to predict and, if necessary, prevent individuals' future behavior.
Klaus Schwab wants us literally to become supermen. Supermen that will be controlled, of course, but he wants us to become supermen. He writes, the ability of new technologies to literally become part of us, involving curious mixes of digital and analog life that will redefine our very nature. These technologies, writes Schwab, will operate within our own biology and change how we interface with the world. They are capable of crossing the boundaries of body and mind, enhancing our physical abilities through active implantable microchips, smart tattoos, biological computing, and custom-designed organism, connecting our brains to virtual reality through cortical modems, implants, or nanobots. What did he just say?
Something insane.
Yeah, sure. But anyway, everybody's going to Davos to hear more, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, at the end of the day, Klaus is really interested in eugenics. He writes, quote, it is now far easier to manipulate with precision the human genome within viable embryos. It means that we are likely to see the advent of designer babies in the future who possess particular traits or who are resistant to a specific disease. End quote. Does that mean like blue eyes and blonde hair, Klaus? That you're looking for, buddy? Is it? Okay. This is madness, friends. Last year, it was just the mask for 15 days. This year, it's the vaccine passport, right? And next year, it's going to be the microchip.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
So I'm with Rod on this one. You know, is this all going to come to pass? I don't know. I think it's up to us. I think we have way more power than we realize. We're afraid and we're intimidated by these people, so we're not speaking out. We're just masking up. To a large extent, it's up to us, and there's already some hope. The governors of two of the largest states, as we've all been watching happily, Florida and Texas now, have opened their states and banned vaccine passports, which is closing the window of opportunity for the great reset that COVID provides.
We need to make it clear to them that the vaccine is the ticket back to pre-pandemic life. And the window to do that is really narrowing. I mean, you were mentioning, Chris, about how all these states are reopening. They're reopening at 100%. And we have a very narrow window to tie reopening policy to vaccination status. Because otherwise, if everything is reopened, then what's the carrot going to be? How are we going to incentivize people to actually get the vaccine? So that's why I think the CDC and the Biden administration needs to come out a lot bolder and say, if you're vaccinated, you can do all these things. Here are all these freedoms that you have. Because we're not going to...
Ooh. Did she just give away the whole cake? She gave away the cake.
I love this Officer Tatum guy. He's fantastic.
Oh, he's the best.
We should get him to the CIC. Maybe he's Catholic. I don't know. It's fantastic. But another little sign, though, he's really good. There's so many people like that that are totally woke up to what's going on. And this really should, you know, that we don't want to hide under our beds terrified. So many people are waking up, people who probably wouldn't even have identified as Christian conservatives 3 or 4 years ago. But they're waking up to all this stuff. And that's the really good news. We can see a path forward here, a way out. But we got to wake up, you know, and we have to become, we absolutely guard against becoming discouraged, you know, by the raw power and wealth of madmen such as Gates and Soros and Klaus Schwab. Come on, don't be intimidated by these guys, you know. These are the uber nerds from high school. You know, they really are. It's revenge of the nerds is what it is. And I know they got money and all that, you know, but at the end of the day, they're going to wax. They're going to collapse. They're going to fall on their faces like these poor cats always do. You know, people thought the Nazis and the Soviets were invincible too. Remember? But they weren't. They're gone. You see, like all the stupid villains of history, and these guys will be too. And I want to close with an example of what should give you just all of us a lot of hope. My wife and I, we homeschool our seven children. Now, a few years ago, I got to tell you, it was a little bit hairy. I mean, there were new laws popping up all over the world. There were folks going to jail for educating their kids at home. There's the homeschool legal defense. Michael Ferris does such a great job. We used to pore over his magazine every week, talking about homeschoolers who had beaten the rap, who had found a way to not get in trouble with the law. It was pretty scary, you know? Folks going to jail, not only going to jail, but folks in Europe leaving the country, fleeing their own countries because of the draconian anti-homeschool laws all over the world. Remember all this?
Yeah, the question is, do Americans have a fundamental right to homeschool? The Justice Department is now saying no in a case that may send this German father back to a German jail. In 2008, Uwe Romeike fled Germany after facing imprisonment and the forcible removal of his children. Your crime was that you wanted to homeschool your kids.
Yeah, we wanted to homeschool our kids in Germany, and it's illegal there.
It's really fascinating to look at that video. You know, to think back when last time I saw that video, I was like, oh boy, you know, here they come for us too. You know, this is the future for us. There's no way out of this. This is so scary, man. What are we going to do? They're going to take our kids, you know? Almost as terrifying as what we're facing right now. And now it's just disappeared. It just disappeared into smoke, you know? And I would say to the woke world out there, what do you say about these people, this German family? What do you say about them? Remember how you treated them? You know? I guess we were the ones, the homeschoolers were the ones following the science a few years ago, right? Back before the whole world started homeschooling. Who saw that coming? God did. I didn't. Who saw it coming? Not many people saw that coming, yet here it is. What's the lesson, friends? Don't get discouraged. Don't climb under your bed, hang out, and decide you can't fight this because it's just too big and there's nothing we can do about it. Don't do that. Don't do that. As a homeschooler who thought it was over years ago, I can tell you, I can't believe how secure now homeschooling is. It's not going anywhere. So the lesson is keep on fighting. Don't let them intimidate you. Don't lose hope. Stay strong. Stay brave. Look right in their eyes and tell them where to go. Because eventually, if we wake up, if we speak out, if we fight back, there are so many more of us than there are of them. And this stupid Great Reset, which is the brainchild of an insane person right out of a Bond film, The Great Reset, The Fourth Reich, it's going to end up in the same ash bin of history that the Third Reich ended up in, that the Soviet Union ended up in, the USSR. Well, I grew up scared to death of the USSR. Where is it now? It didn't last 1,000 years, did it? The Reich. This isn't going to last either. And there might be some hell on Earth to overcome it, but we got to stand up and overcome it and fight it, because this thing is far from over. We are up against the criminally insane, friends. And God is with us, not them, not this time, no doubt about it. And God wins in the end, not them. We keep the faith and we keep fighting. Don't give up. God help us. Do not give up this fight, because we're going to win it in the end. I think you know that. Thanks very much for listening. I'm Michael Matt for RTV, and we'll see you next week.